Who's got it better than us?
Nobody! Your home for the best sports coverage in Utah. You're listening to Jake Scott and Ben Anderson on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. I'm sometime this guy, Ben, so I try not to point fingers, but one-up guy, been there, the person sure. That just can't help but, you know.
Talk about their experience.
Yeah, right. I took a trip to Hawaii last year.
I went to Jamaica.
Three times.
Yeah.
So Doc Rivers, head coach of the Bucks, he isn't that, but he is throw people under the bus guy.
Absolutely.
Which I also have encountered.
Yeah, absolutely.
I won't tell that story. But I've worked with several people who, you know, you call with a problem. They're like, well, it was this guy and then this guy and then this guy. Yeah. And you get four people deep and then they're like, yeah, and that's why it didn't happen. It's like, so is everybody but you.
Yeah, right. You're squeaky clean.
Everybody breathing but you. The Bucks are not good on the road, Ben. They're under 500. What are they? Well, let me find their record here. Give me a second. But yeah, the Bucks are below 500, 18-20 on the season on the road. And Doc was asked, you know, why are you not great on the road? And in his response, he threw everybody under the bus, but including, like, the crew.
The travel crew,
yeah. Like the locker room managers and the equipment people. It's like, and he even said, he's like, I've been taking notes. I won't tell you what those notes are, but I've been taking notes, like putting everybody on notice. And it's like, dude, you just can't help yourself, can you?
But you know what's funny? Is Giannis called out the equipment manager as well? Now, he kind of was joking when he said it. At least that's how it was played off. But Giannis said everybody has to do better because they were talking about the early season struggles. And I think this might have been before Doc joined. Maybe Doc was already there. But he says it starts with the equipment manager. He has to wash our clothes better. The bench has to be better. The leaders of the team have to be better. He kind of included everybody. I actually wonder if there is some recognition that, like, hey, this is goofy. This is bizarre what's going on here. Like, and it's not the equipment manager. They don't have that big of an influence. But if you get a sense that, like, you know, to bring back your favorite movie, Moneyball, you have to pay for your own sodas in the locker room, like, people can tell when things are off kilter or have slipped from where maybe they once were.
Listen, I love Adam Klauke. He's one of my favorite people, and I think everybody around the Jazz players front office saw that. He's the Jazz locker room manager.
Adam?
The equipment manager?
Yeah.
Adam's official title. And I want to tread carefully when I give this next opinion because I think Adam's great. But if you're saying that you're below 500 on the road because they're using like Tide instead of some sort of hypoallergenic fabric softener or something, you know what I mean? Like, look in the mirror, dude. And yeah, probably things aren't perfect with the dang equipment manager, but I think there's of lists of flaws for the Milwaukee Bucks, where would you put poor equipment managing?
50th.
Maybe lower.
Yeah. It's like, well, first it's the defense.
Let's start with the defense.
Yeah.
And let's work our way down.
Yeah.
So I don't, like, why would you publicly throw an equipment manager if you're Giannis or Doc? And I'm not saying that because you say it's kind of a red flag. And here's where I agree with you. Like, Giannis, look in the mirror a little bit, bro.
Yeah.
And the front office needs to look in the mirror because Dame wasn't the right move. And certainly hiring What's-His-Bozo before Doc wasn't the right move. And then sacking Bozo to hire Doc wasn't the right move. Like, there's so many things wrong with the Bucks right now that have nothing to do with the poor son of a gun who just got the bus backed over him. Who's the equipment manager?
Hiring Adrian Griffin was an enormous mistake.
which you could have seen a mile away. I think we talked about it. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't hire a coach with zero experience whatsoever right. to coach one of the highest managed, like, needs to be managed teams in the league.
Anytime you make two coaching hires within 6 months of each other, you're in trouble. And that's what they did, because they hired the wrong guy. And then you have no chance but to just try and make an emergency hire. And that's when you end up with a guy like Doc Rivers, who is flawed.
And they,
to say the least.
They basically let Giannis fire the last guy, which is also not a good sign. So the Bucks are a mess, but I feel terrible for their poor equipment manager. And then you say, well, Giannis threw him under the bus too. Maybe this guy's a real dingbat.
Well, a lot of eyes are going to be on Milwaukee. We'll see what happens with Cleveland. I think the Knicks are going to re-sign everybody and try and keep them together. Miami gets a little bit interesting this offseason. There's a lot of teams that are going to be watched closely.
You don't think
Brooklyn to this conversation?
You don't think the Nets are going to start making room for Donovan Mitchell?
They might. I just said, yeah, Brooklyn is an interesting
or
team to
Knicks.
Watch as well.
Sorry, not the Nets. I meant the Knicks.
The Knicks will probably keep everyone around so they have contracts to sign, because they still have a bunch of future draft picks. So they probably keep it together to be enticing for a Donovan Mitchell trade. So, Donovan would be happy to go to the Knicks if they had won 15 games, I suspect. But might as well be good if you're going to trade for Donovan, even though I don't think he does what they need. You know, they've got Jalen Brunson, who's...
Yeah, but Donovan's the only player in the league that wants to be on James Dolan's team.
Yeah, that is a fact. But I'm looking at teams this offseason that might, with the right amount of chaos mixed into the postseason, might become sellers or become desperate. Where if you're a Jazz fan, you start circling some of those teams and saying, hey, who wants to make a bad trade? Because that's what Danny Ainge loves. Blood on the ground, buy property. Danny Ainge is the king of that. Wait until somebody else is in real trouble and then swoop on in like a snake. Yeah. And just say, oh, interesting. You need help? Let Uncle Danny
desperate
fix
teams.
Things for you.
Desperate teams make bad moves.
I've got draft picks.
Absolutely is true since the beginning of the NBA.
So, you are rooting for that if you're a Jazz fan. And, you know, you might... We'll see what happens in the West. I have no idea what's going to happen in the West. Denver's the number one seed right now. Minnesota and the Oklahoma City Thunder are both tied for two. Now, they're all equal in the loss column, which is what matters. They're just a win back. They haven't played. And as good as they are, they probably both expect to win their next games, though Oklahoma City is in Boston tonight, so they might fall a full game back. But Clippers potentially going to run into some chaos this offseason. Minnesota could definitely run into some chaos this offseason with their weird ownership stuff going on. Dallas appears to have figured it out, but they've figured it out until they haven't. And
well, figured it like you really are considering Dallas for a title? I like their moves at the deadline, too, to make them a better team. Totally agree. But I
think if they make the conference finals, that's enough. That's enough to keep Luka engaged and happy that these young pieces that they have are good enough to compete for something with some more development, so he doesn't ask out this summer, which is all you're trying to do. Keep Luka in a Dallas uniform as long as possible. Suns are a disaster, I suspect. I know they're 6-4 in their last 10, which is actually better than they have been playing, but still a disaster.
But can they? They can't do anything, though. I mean, they're not going to
trade. No, I mean, they could sell Devin Booker at some point, but they won't do that this summer.
No, he's their young franchise player. Why would they do that?
Because they have no wiggle room otherwise. They just might not have a choice.
Yeah, and they're going to run it back. Yeah, that's what happens when you trade for Bradley Beal.
Right. Because you can't trade Bradley Beal, and I don't think Kevin Durant's bringing you back 3 first-round draft picks anymore.
Nope.
As good as he is, he clearly is not good enough to get you to the top of a conference. So why would you mortgage everything you have for him?
He's 200 years old.
Yep.
Well, so, he's not the top player on a title-contending team anymore.
Yeah, he may never have been.
Oh, I think he was at one point. But you know what? This is what him going to join the Warriors does to the conversation.
Absolutely.
This was his mistake, because now everybody looks at his legacy and says, well, maybe you really weren't.
He has 2 titles on a team that was already winning titles before him.
Yep.
That won 73 games the previous season, right?
Yep.
Yeah, you signed with that team and you win a title, everyone says, like, yeah, okay.
Of course you did, yeah.
They would have won without you, and they probably would have. So, yeah, that's on Kevin. Now, he has his titles. He's going to the Hall of Fame. He's one of the 10 greatest scorers of all time. I think he's maybe the most overrated basketball player of all time, in my opinion. But, yeah, he's super talented.
He signed up for that, though.
Yeah, he absolutely did. He put himself in line with that.
I think he was that good at one point. I think saying that he wasn't is selling him short. But again, that's not my fault he didn't stay in Oklahoma City.
Or wherever.
Yeah.
But he's never, he didn't lead OKC to a title, got him to a finals, was a toe on the line away from maybe getting the Brooklyn Nets a championship, but they lose to Milwaukee and Milwaukee beats the Sun in the Suns in the finals. So maybe he was really close, but sports is full of guys who were really close that don't become GOATs because close is not the finish line.
No, it is not.
So anyways, that's what you're looking for, though, if you're a Jazz fan, to you know, talk about this Milwaukee Bucks team. You know, that's what the Jazz want. The Jazz want Milwaukee to be a catastrophe, people to get desperate, Giannis to get angry and say, I want out. And the Jazz to say, oh, interesting. I've got a landing spot. You only have to face him twice a year. Giannis isn't going to be, you know, you're not sending him to the Lakers. Send him to Salt Lake. The way the Jazz sent Donovan Mitchell to Cleveland. Like, yeah, I'm sure he wants to go to New York. I'm sure Giannis would love to go play for the Miami Heat. Salt Lake's frigid at times. Just send him to Utah. We'd love to take him. And that is the plan. That's part of the plan for the Jazz. So,
but you can't just make that happen, which is something that we've talked about a lot.
Which is, again, why if you're a Jazz fan watching the playoffs, you just hope it's catastrophe after catastrophe. You hope the favored teams lose. You hope the expensive teams lose. That's what you want. You want the ruling class of the NBA to suffer. You want Boston to lose. I don't know if they're going to, but that's what you're rooting for.
Did you see Wemby's line last night?
I did.
With his
near
nine
quadruple
blocks?
Double.
I saw a straw poll for MVP. That would be Jokic is pretty much running away with it. I think the second best player in the league is Joel Embiid. If you look at the final four, you've got at least two teams that run their offense through playmaking centers. I think if I'm the Jazz and I'm identifying the next star, I might be looking for a playmaking center. Everybody wants a guard that dribbles the whole game. I think your next look at our guy Şengün.
It's where Houston gets fascinating.
I think the best teams in the league. I think you might have to have a playmaking 7-footer going forward. I don't think it's the six whatever guard that dribbles. I think it might be running your offense Anthony Mason style through a big. I think that might be the next evolution of basketball.
Houston's really interesting because they were so-so, pretty bad. Alperen Şengün gets hurt. They take off. Jalen Green scores all these points, and now there's this thought there, well, they play so slow with Alperen Şengün that when they can play fast with Amen Thompson and Jalen Green, who's having this huge breakout right now, and all these guys can get out and run, that's their style of play. And Şengün actually just gets in the way of that. And if I were the Utah Jazz, I would say, oh, interesting, you don't like Şengün so much. How much can I give you for him? Because I'm with you. The league, my theory right now in the NBA is that the skills have all caught up. There were all these super skilled guys, these triple-double guys that were kind of dominating the league, these super dominant kind of 3-4 wings, the Jason Tatums, the LeBron Jameses, et cetera, of the world, that were so popular and they had good size. And now the league has gotten really big again. Where the best players in the league are Jokic.
Super skilled bigs.
Are Embiid. You could put Giannis into that conversation. I know he plays a little bit more like a wing, but he's 7 feet tall, super skilled, averages like 6-7 assists a game. Now Wemby's coming. Chet is coming. I'm with you.
Where you run your offense through these bigs. You know what playing fast is, Ben? Honestly, you know what playing fast is? It's a gimmick. And it's designed to manufacture stats and scores, and it's designed to cover up bad defense, and eventually it doesn't work.
How many teams play fast in the playoffs?
Nobody.
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 You can't.
Because the other team's trying. Nobody. The other team never likes to run back on transition defense. That's true across the board. So in the regular season, you dog it in transition. But in the playoffs, they don't do that anymore. The Phoenix Suns under Mike D'Antoni never got over the hump because playing fast is a gimmick. Playing through a playmaking center, however, is something that I think you can really build a franchise on. You're right. I think maybe we're seeing a different evolution, that the skills of the big have caught up with the skills of the wing. And now I'd rather have an unselfish center who's a great passer, scorer, et cetera, to run my team through, as opposed to somebody who's going to dribble the ball on the perimeter the whole game. I don't know. Just a thought.
No,
I mean, like,
size has always been the premium in the NBA. The league had this weird change where shooting caught up so quickly that we weren't valuing size anymore, and then the size learned to shoot.
It's still basketball.
And then size learned to shoot. Yep. And it's like, okay, well, now you have size and shooting. Now, it's the inchworm in Sesame Street, right? That the front goes forward, and then the back pulls up.
But
the back is the shooting and the skill. The front of the head of this worm is size. And it goes forward, and the rest has to find a way to catch up and overtake it. And then the head shoots forward again, and that's the size of the NBA. The bigs always find these major skills. They steal the guard skills, and they stay ahead of the pack.
But it's not just the shooting. I want to emphasize what you said. It's the shooting and the skill, because I don't want any part of Karl Anthony Towns, who can shoot and score and terrific for him. That he is not even in the same stratosphere as Jokic, because Jokic can do it all. He's right. Like, you need not somebody that's just going to score 30 points.
Right.
Talking about somebody you can run your whole system through.
Absolutely.
You come down, you get him the ball at the nail or whatever,
yep.
And then they go to work. I mean, that's what Jokic makes a living doing. You think, oh, that guy can shoot. That is a fraction of his game.
Correct. Oh, yeah, it's not his game. It might be the worst thing of his offensive game.
100%. It's good enough to keep the other team honest.
And it makes highlights.
But really what he's doing is much more.
And he takes maybe two threes a game at most.
Right.
Maybe.
He makes Jamal Murray's life so much easier.
Yeah.
And Aaron Gordon's actually a functional offensive player because of Jokic. You know, it's that, I think, is the future. The skilled big. And I think you're right about skills catching up to size. And it'll be interesting to see what comes next. But those are the best players in the league right now. Yeah, if Houston fools itself into thinking that Şengün was the problem, well, yeah, you take advantage of that.
Absolutely. Yeah. See, make Tillman Fertitta, their owner, feel like now's the chance to win. You can go get a bunch for Alper and Şengün. Get a guy who can help you win now, and steal him from them.
Hey Tillman, you're right. Jalen Green's the guy.
He's him.
The dude. Man, have you seen that guy? That Şengün was holding him back. It's like the crooked music manager that approaches the lead singer. You know. Aside from the rest of the band, it says, "Hey, this band's really about you. You should.
You know, you're the star.
You know, you're the guy. You're the star. You're the one everybody's coming to see. You know, Jalen Green's the guy. Special.
Put everything in him.
Special. I would offer to trade for that guy, but I know you just say no to anything I would offer. So how about that Şengün dude? He was like playing in mud out there. I mean, he was obviously your problem. We'll take him off your hands. It's all right.
I would. That's the player I would look at. If I were anybody in the NBA, I would try and pry him out of Houston, if possible.
And if anybody's that dumb, it might be the Rockets.
I'd go for it.
Stay tuned. We'll have What You Got Wednesday coming up next. Jacob Ben, 97.5 DKSL Sports Zone.
The Jazz, Utes, Cougars, or Aggies. These guys have got you covered.
Time to eat, fellas.
You're locked on to Jake Scott and Ben Anderson.
1, 2, 3,
on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Jake and Ben, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. Time for a little What You Got Wednesday. We do it every Wednesday if you're new to the show. Ben and I both do a five-selection draft of one sports topic, one not sports topic, and then we put it out for a vote. And I dominated last week.
Did you?
Because I had a bad week the week before, so it's good. I had a good rebound. Best Tobacco Road college basketball players.
You got Michael Jordan 1.
61-39. And best friendship duos in movies, 69-31.
Okay.
Sorry, buddy. I feel like we got criticized because we missed a lot in the friendship duo department. So you get the first pick of both drafts today. Congratulations.
Okay. I was ill prepared for this.
Today's sports-related draft, Sarah, is?
We're doing best all-time NBA rookies.
So,
Like their rookie season.
Their rookie season. Yeah, yeah.
Best rookie seasons of all time. Oh, man. How do we want to break this down? Do we want to lay out the stats? What are we talking about here?
How, whatever criteria you want.
Okay. Do you think there's an obvious number one? My go-to question.
Statistically, there probably is, but I'm not sure what you're considering.
Okay. I'm going to go with maybe the most iconic number one or rookie season of all time, and I'm going to go with Magic Johnson.
Yeah, he won the title.
He wins the title. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is hurt game six in Boston, right? And Magic steps in and plays center. And
I think it was in Philadelphia.
Is that Philly?
I'm pretty sure.
Has 42 and 15 on the road and hits the game winner. So, yeah. Finals MVP his first year, Magic Johnson.
So I'm going to go with Wilt Chamberlain because he did have the statistically best rookie season ever, 37.6 points, 27 rebounds, and he won the MVP and the Rookie of the Year award, which I don't think has been duplicated. But that would be the I get the Magic Johnson pick because, like, as far as iconic rookie seasons go, that's probably it. But
that's
I'll go with Wilt.
Give me. These are hard. There's not that many iconic rookie seasons. We're just doing the NBA, right? We're not doing
Yeah, just the NBA.
All right, I'm going to go with Michael Jordan. He wins Rookie of the Year over Hakeem Olajuwon. He averages 28 points, 6 rebounds, 6 assists. Like, immediately steps in and was the best player from the draft class right away. And everyone was like, oh, man, this guy's different. And at some point is going to take over and be the best player in the world. And he did.
Okay, yeah, I mean, it'll get you some votes for sure. I'm going to go with Larry Bird. He lost in the conference finals his rookie year to the Sixers, so,
okay, so
Magic did beat the Sixers in the finals. But Larry Bird did win Rookie of the Year over Magic that year, had a great statistical season, averaged a double-double, 21 points and 10.4 rebounds. 4.5 assists per game, and of course, you know, the opening chapter, as you mentioned, to the Bird Magic saga. So I'm going with Larry Legend.
Man. You know what? I'll go a little bit more recent because everyone knew he should have been the pick and they blew it. Give me Luka Doncic. Give me Big Luka. He steps in right away. What did he go, fourth? The Hawks traded him on
for Trae Young.
And obviously got drafted behind both DeAndre Ayton and what's his name now in Sacramento, who's now on his third team in the NBA. That's how bad he is. It just
Marvin Bagley?
Bagley. Give me Luka Doncic. Rookie year. Let me see what Luka averaged.
Did you see that Vlade Dadi was in attendance at a game the other day and Luka was trash-talking him for not drafting him?
Luka averaged 21, 8, and 6 his rookie season. But did it on very good efficiency. Like, was a good player right away.
All right. And we'll put the years on here, by the way, when we list it online or whatever. Ben, I'm going to go with Shaq.
Yeah.
In 92, 93. And, you know, statistically, it was great. 23 and 14. 3.5 blocks per game. But Shaq instantly changed the league. The day he got into the league, he changed it, and all of a sudden there was this big, powerful center that moved and was unstoppable. Changed the way fouls were called. I mean, changed the league day one, not to mention the most marketable player since Michael Jordan, for sure. But remember he's making movies and Kazam and all this stuff? I mean, Shaq was just dominated. Remember his logo of him with the two-handed power dunk? I mean, that
on the shoes.
Yeah, yeah. So I guess I don't need to justify, but I'm going to go with Shaq.
I'm going to go with a guy. This kind of doesn't count, but it does count because it was his first season in the NBA. David Robinson. David Robinson gets drafted in 87, comes in 1989-90, makes all NBA, makes all defensive team, makes the all-star team, wins Rookie of the Year. His rookie season averaged 24 points and 12 rebounds and 4 blocks a game. Like, immediately stepped in to a prime era of big men in the NBA and was as good as anybody. So David Robinson. Was that my fourth pick? Okay.
So David Robinson. So this is four for me. I'm going to go with Lou Alcindor.
Okay.
For the Bucks in 69-70, 28.8 points per game, 14.5 rebounds. Dominant.
And then I'm just going to follow it up with the other Twin Tower in San Antonio and give me Tim Duncan's rookie season. Number one overall pick, steps in, 21 points, 12 rebounds, 2.5 blocks, all NBA first team, all defensive second team, rookie of the year, all-star, finished top five in defensive player of the year. Tim Duncan was bananas as soon as he got into the NBA, and then they won a title his second year. All-stars first season, though. Incredible player.
I should probably go someone more modern, but for my final pick, I'm going to go Oscar Robertson, the Cincinnati Royals, 60-61. 30 points, 10 rebounds, 9.7 assists. Almost a triple-double back when triple-doubles actually meant something.
We probably whiffed on LeBron.
I thought about LeBron, but LeBron statistically was...
I mean, he was like 25-5 his first year. They did not make the playoffs, which is the only thing I would hold against him.
Oscar Robertson was my last one.
That was the issue. He did not make the playoffs his first year in the NBA.
They were so bad, though. Yeah. It's hard to hold. I'd love to hold that against LeBron, but yeah, LeBron could have been the other one.
But, I mean, again, look at who we drafted. You know, it's not like we had a list of bad players on the roster.
LeBron did not average 25 points per game.
I said 25-5. 20 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists.
That's it. Right. Sorry, I was confused. I was like, I thought that sounded high. He jumped to 27 points per game in his second year. So. Yeah. All right.
Sarah, do you want to recap?
I think my list is too old.
You got a lot of oldsters.
Yes, I don't have the years for everyone, but...
Yeah, we can get them.
Jake, you have 1, Wilt Chamberlain, 2, Larry Bird, 3, Shaq, 4, Kareem, 5, Oscar Robinson.
Robertson.
And Ben, you have 1, Magic Johnson, 2, Michael Jordan, 3, Luka Doncic, 4, David Robinson.
Yep.
And then 5, Tim Duncan.
Yeah. Mine's certainly more modern.
Very much so. All right, we'll see. We'll see. Maybe there's some throwback people out there online that want to vote for me. I doubt it. All right.
So for our non-sports draft, we are doing top 5 best animals in movies. Take that however you want. Animated, non-animated, best animals.
Okay, I'm going to take a number 1 overall pick. If you guys want to veto it, you can. Okay? Give me, I'm giving you guys full right. Again, let me ask a question. Is there an obvious number 1 pick?
No.
If I take the T-Rex from Jurassic Park, does that count?
Fine with me. It's an animal.
Sarah, you okay with the T-Rex in Jurassic Park?
Yeah.
Best animal character of my lifetime. It was iconic when it came out. Still is the main character, even though I know they have like actual humans. But give me the T-Rex in Jurassic Park.
I'm going with my favorite, Snoopy.
Okay. That's fine. That works.
Charles Schulz was a brilliant man.
Yeah, he was. And I'm with you. In on Snoopy. I'm going to go with... This is tough. This is a hard one. There's a lot to pick from, and I'm not sure how many... I don't like movies with animals. Is an issue. Give me Babe, the pig that lives in the city.
Pig in the City, I believe, was the sequel.
What's the sequel? Same stupid pig.
All right. I'm going to go with Mickey the Mouse.
Okay. A character.
Animal in movie.
Sure, you're right. You're not wrong. Oh, okay, I'll take this one. Give me the shark in Jaws, which is exactly the T-Rex in Jurassic Park. It's the same character.
Same director, even.
Same director. Same idea. He just repackaged it with some science fiction.
And some new CGI, some new tech.
Yeah, but give me the shark in Jaws.
I'm going to go with Bugs Bunny.
You're just going all cartoon characters.
Beloved cartoon characters.
Sure.
That are animals.
You're not wrong. I almost picked a mean one. I'm not going to pick it. Not that Jaws
mean
is
to
the
me?
Hero. No, it would have been just horribly, horribly insensitive. So I'm not going to do that one. Give me...
Ben's really struggling.
This is hard.
There's so many, though. Take your pick.
Give me Beethoven.
The dog?
The dog. Beethoven.
Oh, that was a bad movie.
Yeah, I don't like those movies at all.
All right. Oh, I know what I'm going to pick last, because you're never going to pick it, so I will not go that way. Let's see here. I feel like there are so many good Disney and Warner Brothers animals to go with. I'm going to go with Goofy the dog.
You're just going all cartoon characters. You're going all cartoon characters.
Again, beloved cartoon characters. Nobody cares about Beethoven the dog. Everybody loves Goofy.
Yeah, you're right. I like Goofy. I have so many that would never get me votes, so I'm not going to pick them. Is this my fifth? All right, give me King Kong. The best gorilla there is.
Somewhere Magilla Gorilla is pretty upset about that tank. Oh, man, I didn't even think about the Hanna-Barbera universe. What am I doing?
Yeah, there's a whole lot out there.
Oh, because I've got to take my last pick because it's the most amazing animal character of all time. But I left Yogi Bear on the board.
Yeah, there's a lot.
My final one, I'm going to go with Mr. Ed.
That idiot?
The whole time talking horse? Wilbur, that guy? Incredible.
Sarah, do you feel like there's... What would you have picked, Sarah? You were mad at me for taking Beethoven, the Saint Bernard.
I don't know. I just feel like I resonate more with Jake's in this situation than with yours. That's
sure, you
all.
Guys went cartoon characters.
Yeah, I was, but like, what's his name? Air Bud. You could have gone. I would have taken him over Beethoven.
Different. That's a different era. Most of our listeners are not your age, so I'm catering to people my age. I got a text from Steve. Lassie, a classic.
Yes, Lassie.
Bambi, a classic. Anaconda, from the movie Anaconda. A good one there. You know what I should have taken? I actually love this character because the meaning behind this character and what the character represents is great. Was it the crocodile in Peter Pan?
Oh, yeah. Isn't his name... Doesn't he have a name? Is it like TikTok or something?
8 o'clock, yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
The croc, who eats Captain Hook. Because the crocodile represents time, which is why he ticks and talks when he comes by. And they go to Neverland because they never want to grow up, but the bad guy is a clock ticking, which is about life. Very good writing. Anyhow.
Who was your favorite chipmunk?
Nemo.
Nemo?
Nemo was on the list. Sea Biscuit.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Never seen him.
Love Seabiscuit.
Not a horse guy.
Secretariat?
Yeah, Secretariat. Those are like real animals.
Secretariat, they both are. I'm sure they made a movie about Secretariat.
Hooch from Turner and Hooch.
The dog from, what's it called, Sandlot?
Yeah, that's a good one. What's it, Hercules?
Hercules.
Yeah.
Scooby-Dooby-Doo.
Scooby-Doo.
All right.
Tom and Jerry.
Garfield?
Garfield?
I like Garfield.
There's so many.
Not a good Garfield movie.
Quick recap.
I like the rat from Ratatouille.
Jake, you have 1 Snoopy, 2 Mickey Mouse, 3 Bugs Bunny, 4 Goofy the dog, and then 5 Mr. Ed the horse. Ben, you have 1 the T-Rex from Jurassic Park.
Yep.
2 Babe the pig, 3 the shark from Jaws,
yeah.
4 Beethoven the dog, and then 5 King Kong.
Ah, okay. We went totally different approaches there. I'll be curious to see where our... I think you're going to win. I'll be curious which way our listenership goes.
What is this? Somebody says, someone for the love of God, please take Godzilla or King Kong.
I got King Kong.
Ben got you there. Colton said, Ben lost when he picked Babe with the second pick. Yeah, I
people like
say.
Babe.
No, they don't.
The spider, Charlotte from
Charlotte's Web.
That's a good one.
Mr. Ed should have gone 1. Legend.
It's the classic movie about the dog that dies.
Benji?
No. Oh, my gosh.
Marley and Me?
Yes.
It's not a classic movie.
That isn't a classic movie. No.
It's a terrible movie. I hate animals. I hate animal movies. That's why I went with these bad creatures.
What, Old Yeller? Isn't that the original dog dying movie?
Yeah. Yeah. They shoot the dog. Anyways.
Rough.
Yeah, that was the time I cried. I remember seeing that movie. That was like the movie when I was young that were like, you don't want to see it. It's going to make you cry.
Oh, man. I've had a rough morning. All right. We'll wrap up the show. Coming up next, stay tuned. Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Sports you love, the teams you can't live without.
Get a sense of urgency!
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Jake Scott, Ben Anderson. Want to remind you about Peach Doors and Windows, Utah's premier door and window retailer, combining beauty and technology. And doors and windows since 1993. Call them today for your free in-home estimate, 801-566-1255, Peach Doors and Windows.
You know what?
That was a big sigh.
I didn't get to take the picks I wanted to take because they wouldn't have won me the vote, is the problem. So I didn't actually pick with my heart. I picked with my brain.
The animals one or the rookie seasons
one? The animals one.
What would your heart have picked?
I like the cat in the movie Alien. She's kind of running around on board. Give me the cat from Alien. Give me Black Phillip from the movie The Witch. He's the devil. But it's a good character. Scary. Just a couple off the top of my head.
The pug from Men in Black?
Okay. That is a dog in a movie. You are correct. All three animals from Homeward Bound, Sassy and Shadow and Chance, like those three.
Wasn't Jack Palance Chance?
Yeah, Michael J. Fox, and was it Sally Field?
I think it was Roseanne.
Was it Roseanne?
A niche one, but the dogs from Swiss Family Robinson, Duke and Turk.
Okay. I don't know if I've ever seen Swiss Family Robinson.
I always wanted to live in a...
Treehouse.
Treehouse, because of that movie.
Free Willy from Free Willy.
Oh, yeah. The dolphin.
The whale.
The whale.
I know, but then there's the dolphin with one fin, you know, or like a missing fin.
Oh, Donna Meech was Shadow. Sally Field was Sassy.
Yeah, I was going to say Roseanne was a little too screechy. Roseanne was in Look Who's Talking.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, Ben, real quick on our way out the door, can I have you rate the burn? All right. Because we brought this up when Jim Harbaugh was still throwing shade at Ryan Day. So who had the better burn, Jim Harbaugh or Ryan Day, all right? So Jim Harbaugh, as a reminder to you, was talking about reused an old burn he'd used on Ryan Day. Said, quote, "Everybody in that building, no one was born on third base. Everyone had to work their way to first," unquote. Talking about how Ryan Day just inherited Urban Meyer's team. Mm-hmm. So Ryan Day has responded, Ben, talking about his new running backs coach, Carlos Lachlan. He said, quote, "Like some of us in this profession, he came up not in a football family, but grew up and kind of had to figure it out on his own," unquote.
0% burn? That's not a burn. If that's what Ryan Day thinks is a burn, fire him now.
Well, he's saying that Jim Harbaugh is part of a football family. He didn't earn, he's a Nepo baby, is apparently what he's saying.
Well, he's right.
Yeah. So which is the better burn?
Yeah, I should have actually found a way to burn him. He said something altruistic. Should have been more cruel. For it to be a burn, I need more cruelness. Ryan Day, out. Bum. Can't do it.
So you're going with the Harbaugh?
Yeah, I'm going with Harbaugh still.
But what Ryan Day is saying is essentially Harbaugh was born on third base.
Which he was. We all agree. But then find a way to hit him harder than the new running backs coach. My goodness.
Well, no, he's using the running backs coach as a vehicle. Ben, pay attention.
I am. It's not a good burn. It's too slow to get there. It's not on the nose enough.
Sounds like a take from somebody who likes some satanic cat.
Ryan Day does not have a title, right? He's not won a championship at Ohio State?
No.
Well, hard for him to talk then. Harbaugh did it.
Oh, you can still throw out a good burn even if
I would think so. That wasn't one. That's why I'm rating the burn a 0 out of 10. No burn.
No, don't.
Now,
we're
I will
done.
Tell you what my right. favorite burn is.
Hans, it's Scotty, you're next.
Can I tell you what my favorite burn is?
The KSL
I'm
going
to rank this 10 out of 10.
She's burning me to hold on to this. I know this is something